God told me that the body of Christ needs to be healed, that they're so wounded that people still don't believe that he loves them. I don't know what he has to do to convince you that he loves you, but I hope tonight you understand that he does love you, and he's for you, not against you. Amen. Father, I truly do thank you for tonight. I thank you for all those who came out to sit at your table and be fed your fresh manna from heaven. I want you to bless them an extra special blessing tonight. And Father God, I see you putting a wall around some. You're pulling them in close to you so the enemy can't destroy them. And I thank you for those that you're doing that too, Father. And some of you, I really do see God, he's placing a wall around you because the enemy is attacking you from all sides. And God is protecting you from those fiery darts. Father God, I thank you because it's been on my heart for those that you're covering. How, Father God, are they going to be safe from the harm of the enemy? And Father God, you've answered that question tonight, and I thank you for it. Now, Father, open up each and every person's heart here tonight. Open up their ears, their eyes, their understanding, and let them hear and let them perceive and let them receive what you have to say. We sang about your love tonight, Father, how you love us. Now, Father God, let that sink deep into our spirits tonight. And I cover it with the blood of Jesus that the enemy can't come and steal that seed. And I say all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. There's been a shift in the atmosphere in this church, and I'm not sure if it's good or bad. I walked here in here this morning, and I felt it. Something's going on, and I'm still seeking God's face about it. But there has been a shift in here. Now, tonight I'm going to teach on the kind of love John spoke about. I can tell you that everything I tell you tonight, you can live it. I'm an example of somebody who's lived among a lot of unlovable people and who God has kept my love preserved. I had to cry out for him to preserve my love, but he did keep my love. I don't act ignorant towards people who have hurt me. I don't act ignorant to people that I think that I'm no longer supposed to minister to. Because God's love doesn't do that. And each one of you in here tonight, if you're going to call yourself a child of God, then you can't have discord with anybody. You can't have aught against anybody. If you have something against somebody, why can't you just get over it? You can't carry it and be a minister of God's. He'll put you down. God will put you down. He'll set you down. You can't do that. Every door he's open, he's going to close if you don't get this love walk right. Because he can't trust you. If you can't love your brother and your sister in the house of God or in your home, how can he trust you out there in the world? He won't be able to trust you. So you're going to have to get this together right now, tonight, or your ministry is closed down. This is what God told me. So, you know, it's up to you what you do with it. I even lost this message tonight on my computer. I couldn't find my message. So I put the baby down, and then all of a sudden God showed me where I put it, and I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. And I put the baby to sleep and got up and got it again. But the devil does not want this message of love to go forth. How many times do I have to preach on love anyhow before it's gotten right? I'm not going to say wait because I have my love walked down. I have to learn to love it more every day, but I do have it down. Amen. I know how to love those who come against me. I know how to love those who persecute me. I know how to put all this junk in God's hands and let him take care of. They're his enemies, not mine. And I know how to go ahead and walk in love if I'm going to continue to be God's servant. Amen. Come on. You know, like we sang, I'm so sorry about the first song this morning. We will sing it again, but we'll sing it right. We didn't have the PowerPoint up, and without you seeing the words, it doesn't do you any good because you really can't understand these singers at times. But we do have the PowerPoint now, and it just didn't fit in tonight, so I didn't play it tonight. But that is a beautiful song, and what Chris Tomlin is saying, God, call my name. He wants to hear God call his name. And you know, the only way you're going to hear God call your name is if you're walking right in love, in the love walk that God's called you to walk in. I was looking up something and I ran across Phil Wickham, not his name. And, I was totally surprised that somebody was interviewing him he's been a Christian all his life. I mean, all his life. And he said he was a praise and worship in his church before he was ever 16 years old. So what's wrong with you people that God's called to be praise and worship leaders? You young kid, you're just sitting here doing nothing. And by the time he was 16, he was the praise and worship leader. And he, you know, my favorite character in the Bible was David. And well, his favorite character is Peter. Because, you know, he always felt like he was unworthy to do, be the song leader. And God gave him the songs. All of his songs are Bible based. All the words are out of the Bible. If you really listen to them, they are. So anyhow, God told me about Peter. And when he saw how Peter, you know, was under God's ministry for 3 years, and then how Peter denied him, but then how God brought him back and restored him and what wonderful works he did for the Lord. So that's what, at age 16, he was feeling unworthy because he just didn't feel like he could do what God had called him to do. But there he is. And he's doing what God's called him to do with a powerful anointing on his life. And I sort of liked the picture they had of him then. Then when he was talking, he had sort of long hair like Brad's, but it was nicely, you know, feathered and everything. And I sort of liked that rather than that little short cut off stuff he has now. But anyhow, you know, doesn't matter about the hair, but he was a nice looking boy. But he stayed true to God is what I'm trying to say. Some of you young people here, you think you're out there trying to throw yourself at people, and why do you do that? You know, like this Phil Wickham, like Chris Tomlin, they just serve God with all their heart, all their life. And look what God has done for them. Then it was also interviewing. This is really just so you understand where God comes from. They were interviewing Chris Tomlin. This was another interview I was listening to. And he just became famous 8 years ago. He's been writing ever since he's been about 8 years old, Christian songs that they've been singing into churches. But God just brought him to the forefront 8 years ago. And now he said 8 years ago, he had never thought he'd be doing what he's doing today. But he's so excited about how God has just taken over his life, and, you know, and how God's just using him to raise up the lost and the dying, and how he's just constantly on the road. And now he has two little girls. Now he wrote a book called Good, Good Father, and they sell it at Walmart. Now when you check if it's there, I want to go buy it. But he wrote a book, a children's book, and he's just excited about that God allowed him to do that. And it goes off with his song, The Good, Good Father, that he just wrote. And what I'm saying here is, if you'll just follow God, if you just lay every worldly desire to the side and follow God, He will do more than you could ever do. He'll do more with your life than you could ever think of doing with your own life. But if you're going to hang on to the sin and the degradation, you know, he's not going to take you anywhere. If you're going to hang on to hate and bitterness and keep strife going, God can't use you that way. He really can't. All right. These are two men, two young men that are good examples. You know, Chris Tomlin is about 44, I think he is, and I forgot how old Phil Wickham isn't that old either. And so they're not old people doing this. These are young people doing this. And they've been doing it all their life. And you say, well, you know, they had a good start. Yeah, they did. They had good parents. They had a good start. But, you know, that's just an excuse not to do what's right. You can start anywhere. God, you know, whenever you finally decide, God, I submit my all to you, that's the day you start. And that's the day God will take your hand. And that's the day God will keep you from that day forward as long as you serve him. And then God will bring you forth like he has these two young men. Amen. All right, Jesus said in John 15:9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. You want the Father to love you, but you don't want to love others. Well, you want the Father to love you in your mess, but you have a hard time loving somebody else in their mess. So you're not abiding in God's love. Are you listening? There is a kind of love John spoke about, a kind of love one can only know when their love is tested beyond what they can control. Now, listen to that. There is a kind of love. John spoke about a kind of love one can only know when their love is tested beyond what they can control. I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day in your life, if it hasn't already, when God's going to place you in a circumstance where you think you're the biggest love sponge there is. Then God will put you in a situation where you're going to find out how much love's seeped out of that sponge. And your love is going to be tested right down to the very core. And if you're like me, you're going to say, God, I am failing in this area right now. I'm not the love sponge I thought I was. Come on. Because, you know, when you're walking around all cocky thinking you can love anybody, anything, you can when they're doing good, when they're not coming against you. But then when God puts you in the midst of the unlovable, and those are coming against you, it's a whole big different ball game. There is a kind of love John spoke about that we all need more of. If the world will truly know him, for they, the world, will know us by our love. They're only going to know, if they're watching you, they're only going to know Jesus by your love. Come on. You know, some of you, you come in here and I can feel that your attitude coming off of you. I can feel your ought that you're having against somebody. Now that should never be. That should have been taken care of at the cross before you left your home. Or in your car when you was coming to church. You should never come into the house of God and somebody feel that kind of stuff coming off of you. If you're walking in the love of God. The true love of God. Not just mouth service. All right. So I said there was a kind of love John spoke about that we all need more of. If the world will truly know God, for they, the world, will know us by our love. There was a kind of love John spoke about from experience through testimony, because he had pressed against the heart of Jesus himself and passed through the trials we can only imagine. Remember, John was one that laid his head on Jesus' bosom. And how many times has God called us to come and sit on his lap and lean against his bosom? And he's saying, get to know my heart. Let my love that's in me, in my heart, just beat into your heart so that you can be the love vessels that I can work through. Amen. And we all know that what happened to John, he was put out in the Isle of Patmos. You know, he's boiled in oil and didn't die. Why? Because he had the true love of God. Remember, Peter said, what about him? He was talking about John. And God said, you don't worry about him. You worry about what I'm telling you to do. Amen. See, Peter thought he was going through trials and tribulations. He didn't know what John was going to experience. And we all do the very same thing. There is a kind of love John spoke about that doesn't come through easy lessons or good training. Come on. There is a kind of love John spoke about that doesn't come through easy lessons or good training. A kind of love that is beyond explanation and only known through absorption. In other words, nobody can explain. How in the world can you put up with that? You can't explain that. You just absorb it through the heart of God. Sitting on his lap, leaning your head against his bosom. You know, on your face, crying out to him, and he just pours his love into you. Definition of absorption is complete attention, intense mental effort, the mental state of being preoccupied by something. Hello. I said the definition of absorption is complete attention. You know, you're going to have to pay complete attention to God's love if you're going to absorb that love. God's love, not man's love. There is a kind of love John spoke about that God himself entrusted to him. A kind of love that many of us have been trained in for such a time as this. God has been teaching us about love for eons now. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And last night, God spoke to me and said, my people have allowed the enemy to steal their joy. And they have to get their joy back. And this scripture says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus is saying, if you love others as I have loved you, then your joy is going to remain full. Come on. Most of us wouldn't choose the trials and journeys that prove and reprove such love in our lives, would we? If God would let me have a little say so, I wouldn't be going through some things I go through, is what I'm saying here. Amen. Most of us wouldn't choose the trials and journeys that prove and reprove such love in our lives. These are the kind of trials the enemy thinks will water down or steal our love and, or even make it grow cold while we walk through the process. These are the kind of trials the enemy thinks will water down or steal our love or even make it grow cold while we walk through the process. One of the enemy's top goals is a wearing down of the saints, and at the top of his list is our love. That's what God meant when he said, do not grow weary in well-doing, because the enemy will throw one test and one trial after another after you, make you grow weary in well-doing, and in doing that, he steals your love. Then he steals your joy. Then there you sit, empty and dry. Many have been through long, seemingly unfulfilled journeys, broken moments, isolation, rejection, offenses, mistakes, lost, and round after round of patient perseverance. Some of you can say amen to that if you like. The enemy would like nothing more than to steal your love, but God knows you will dig deeper and rise higher at the same time. Through all the stuff I just read, you know, many have been through long, seemingly unfulfilled journeys, broken moments, isolation, rejection. We've all been through this. Offenses, mistakes, loss, and round after round of patient perseverance. The enemy would like nothing more than to steal your love, but God knows you will dig deeper and rise higher at the same time. In other words, when you're going through all this stuff and say you're giving in to the devil, you get closer and closer to God and keep immersing yourself into him and receiving restoration for your soul from Jesus, or from God, however you want to put it. And then you can go on with your journey, and you can do that journey in love, total and complete love. You know, God said love and compassion go hand in hand. So if you don't have love, then you won't have compassion. Amen. And if without compassion, God can't use you. He can't use you without love either. So I want each and every one of you to really stop and think about your journey of love. How is your journey of love? You want to get out there and you want to start destroying the enemy at every turn. You want to travel overseas. You want to travel, you know, to California or wherever you want to travel. And what are you going to do when you get there? Because if your love walk isn't right, you're not going to do nothing. You're going to waste your money and spin your wheels. You have to stay right where you're at. Stay planted in your home. Get your love walk together and then say, God, open up the doors and send me forth. Because, see, if your love walk's not right, the enemy will destroy you. He's very good at that, you know. He knows the exact moment to push that button to make you walk in anger or whatever. Because he already has you, because he stole your joy, because your love walk's not right. God knows he has made you an overcomer with him. And not only are you coming out the other side, but you will come out the other side with your love fully intact and more richly powerful than ever before. Now, you know, I used to be from birth up. I loved everybody, anything in there. I'd have love stuff all. I'd wear that when I first moved to Dover, they had this, Roses was up there. I think it was Roses. One of those big stores up in the Blue Hen Mall. And they brought out these sweatshirts, all kind of love stuff on them. Yes. And I bought every one they had. Well, you know, because of my bad marriage and things just going wrong and wrong and wrong, one day I just burnt everything that had love on it. Love wasn't real anymore. Love just did not exist, because no matter what I did, this person did not love me, did not respect me or honor me. And so I felt love was out the window. That's when I built my wall around my heart. I said, all right, God, I've tried it your way. And now nobody's going to ever hurt me again. And I built that wall. I blocked out love. And it stayed that way for a while. You know, I still love people, but they could only come so close. Then I wouldn't let you go any closer because you weren't going to hurt me no more. Nobody was going to hurt me ever again. And then when I became born again, God showed me my heart. He said, I've got to tear down that wall or I can't use you. Because your heart has to be open to be wounded over and over and over again. And he said, with the wall, I can't use you. And so while I was standing there crying, I said, go and tear it down. And I didn't want to be hurt again, you know. I was 50 years old and, you know, I had enough hurt in my lifetime and I didn't want no more hurt, but God said, I want to use you, but I can't unless you're open for love, unless you're open to be hurt and wounded. So he tore it down. So I'm open to be wounded and to be hurt, to be rejected, but I still love. Are you understanding this? It's worth it all. Everything you go through, all the hurt, all the pain, all the rejection, whatever it is, it's worth it all just to know that your Father is holding your hand and your Father's looking out for you and He loves you. It doesn't matter who loves you as long as you know God loves you. Amen. John 21:17 says, do you love me? This is what Jesus said. He said to Peter the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. God gave me that scripture one time during my ministry. You know, and he said, and I was in a bad place. And he said, if you really love me, then you'll feed my sheep. You won't be worried about what somebody's doing to you. You won't be worried about the pain in your heart. You'll just be worried about the souls. And he gave me that scripture. And you asked Peter three times, do you love me? God's asking you all the same question tonight. Do you love him? Do you really love him? Then if you do, put aside your stupidity and love those who you think is unlovable. Because you know, at the time you think somebody else is unlovable and you're pulling your love away from them, you're the one that's unlovable. You're the one that's in trouble with God. The other person isn't because the other person doesn't know better. Are you listening here? And you know, God will keep you, it will put you in a place where you will have to work on your love walk. He will place people around you over and over and over again that you're going to have to. If you're going to walk with God, if you really love God, then you're going to be tested with your love. Because if you don't love, if you can't love the unlovable, then you don't love God. I know for a fact or sometimes I'm not lovable. But yet I want God to love me. Do you understand that? And so then why are you sitting here thinking you don't have to love somebody else? If you want God to love you. Have you ever just stopped and thought about the universe? You know, we're just all vegetables. We're just walking around here doing dumb stuff. And I said, God, we don't even have a backbone anymore. And we're all doing this out of ignorance. Because we have not been taught in the house of God how to really live a godly life. You know, live the life that Christ wanted us to live. So we're just out here doing our thing, thinking we're all whooping it up. We think we're all going to heaven. Very few are going to go to heaven. You realize that, don't you? I want to be one of the few. I don't know about you. You know, a few could be a couple trillion, couldn't it? You in God's eyes. But, you know, I want to be one of those few that go to heaven. I definitely don't want to go the other direction. So I'm definitely going to keep working on my love walk over and over and over again. Amen. I keep getting called this real pretty name at my house over and over and over again. And I said, thank you, Jesus, that you give me the strength to endure this. You know, the devil looks me right in the face and calls me those names. And I like to knock his head off, but, you know, can't reach inside there and do that. All right, then we read John 21:17, where Jesus asked Peter if he loves him, and he said, you know I do, says, then feed my sheep. The journey has not just been about possessing your promises, all right, but about the agape version of unconquerable love. See, we let the love thing go by, and we just wanted all this other stuff to come to pass. But if you haven't conquered love, then you're not going to get the other stuff. The kind of love John spoke about that will transform the world. It will transform the world. He doesn't just question our love, but challenges our love to dig deeper and rise higher because he knows the abundant life it is capable of. Amen. I got a chance to talk to somebody the other day, and he said, I just can't believe that you took me and a stranger into your home. And I said, well, just stop right there, because to begin with, God told me to. He said, you don't know anything about me. I said, doesn't matter. God told me to do it. And he told me that I would be pleased if I did it. And then, you know, went on to tell him other things God told me. And he said, but I just think it's just awesome that you, he said, I've never run across anybody that accepted me as I am. Who did that? That was God loving him through me. He's on drugs. But, you know, that's God loving him through me. And he knew this young man needed to have somebody accept him just as he is. Amen. Just as he is. And then I'm watching him become part of the family like God said he was supposed to. And I'm watching him just really sort of mellow out and sit and start talking about the Father. It's all because God had me love him and bring him into the home and then show him love. He said, you wash my clothes. You fold them. You set them outside my door in a basket. You feed me. You clothe me. He said, nobody's ever done that for me. It's not what the Word of God tells us to do. Come on. All right, I said, he doesn't just question our love, but challenges our love to dig deeper and rise higher because he knows the abundant life it is capable of. The promises and breakthroughs many of us wait for are the end goal we often keep in sight, and they are very much part of God's vision for our lives. But the process is equally important, and it's a process that takes our human love and makes it more like his in his agape, unconquerable form. We have to give God our human love. You know, there's times, if you're like me, there's times I don't do that right anymore because I don't have that problem. But there was a period in my life just not too long ago, and I would say, God, I can't love them on my own. You're going to have to love them through me. You know, in other words, it was God pouring out love to them, because at that point I couldn't. I had to get myself composed. And I ask God, please love them through me until I can get my act together. Amen. And he did, and he will. So if you have a problem loving somebody, tell God, be honest and say, God, please love them through me. Amen. Our first love, Exodus 25 says, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I love the fact that he's a jealous God. The Apostle John was whisked away to the island of Patmos, a supposed desert and wilderness that would normally be viewed as a punishment. But, truly, it was a wilderness of oneness. It's John and God. A place God set John apart for himself so that he could empower him and share with him secrets he couldn't reveal to anyone else. See, everybody looked at that like that was a punishment, but it really truly was not. God drew him to himself. And all right, in this little church, we have a lot of stupid people. And sometimes I'm one of them. Well, nobody ever talks to me anymore. Did you ever stop to think that God has drawn you to himself? It's not that people don't like you. It's not that people are trying to reject you. It's God is separating, and he's even told you, I'm going to separate you for a season. But you don't pay no attention to that. You just think it's somebody not liking you. Well, we used to talk and converse, and now you don't even speak to me, hardly even look at me, and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? I'm always happy when God does that to me. I need oneness. I need alone time. Amen. All right, then I said, but truly it was a wilderness of oneness, a place God set John apart for himself so that he could empower him and share with him secrets he couldn't reveal to anyone else. So that's the problem. We're so caught up in and wanting to be with other people. God can't speak to us. He can't share his secrets to us. You two boys ought to be happy you're out there in that little old trailer. Every time I go by there, I say, hi, guys. But you're all alone out there, right? And seeing God has you there, he would like to share some secrets with you. He wants you to draw close to him. It's not a punishment, even though you think it is since he took you away from mama. Yeah, it isn't. He's trying to do something great in your lives. So always remember that. He is not separating you just to punish you. I mean, to punish you at all. He wants you alone with him. Now I've lost my place. Where am I at? Such a season? Yeah. Such a season was not punishment or judgment, but was about God being jealous over John in his heart and calling. See, God is jealous over your calling. And it's his calling to you, and what he wants you is to want him more than anything else. The fact that we love a jealous God should confound us. Exodus 21-6 says, and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God, now listen to this, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. God's jealous. He doesn't want you to idolize your wife or idolize your church or idolize your job. You see what I'm saying? Idolize your children. He comes first. You love him first. Amen. Deuteronomy 6:14, you shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. He's saying here, you know, if you go after other gods, God's jealous. He's going to, just like a jealous wife or a jealous husband, they'll go after you and beat you up. God will just, what did he say, wipe you off the face of the earth. Come on. Many are emerging from their own wildernesses of oneness to realize a new season in life they hope will not disappoint, and it won't. But let's leave that part up to God, surrendered into his more than capable hands. In other words, he took you into wilderness of oneness. I was there. Didn't know what I was doing, but I was there. So I just had to believe that God knows, and he does, knows everything that he's doing, and he put me in that wilderness in those winter months for a purpose. To draw me closer to him. To see that without him, I can do nothing. All right. May we focus on the love he has been procuring during the process. Because if you've been through a wilderness experience, he's always been saying to you, I love you. You're the apple of my eye. Keep going. I'm holding on to you. He didn't take us in the wilderness and leave us. He said, I'm right here with you. Keep going. You can make it. Amen. May we focus on that's love, right? May we focus on the love he has been procuring during the process, the love that the enemy has wanted to grow cold, wear down, or turn bitter. Believe me, when I was in my wilderness month, and if you've all, it was season, and you've all been there, I often said, cried at God, what are you doing with me? Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. I didn't grow bitter. I just didn't know what he was doing. Then one day he said, your winter months is over. He kept telling me, don't die in your winter months. Daughter, please don't die in these winter months. He couldn't tell me what he was doing, but he kept encouraging me while I was there. See what I'm saying? God will talk to you. God will encourage you. He will walk you through that process. Tonight, let us grab hold of the love God has refined through fire. Some of your love, my love has been refined through fire, okay? And let it become a witness to the world, and then the promises he has also given us will no doubt take shape. Now that is a double portion, or better yet, jubilee. Because I'm excited because God told me a couple of weeks ago, daughter, you have been through the furnace of affliction so many times, and you come forth shining as pure gold, and now those days are over. Your furnace of affliction is over because you've come forth and you've proved yourself to me. You've been tested and you've been tried. And believe me, I've been tested and I've been tried. And some of you have been too. And you might be going through, go through some more testing and some more trying. But keep on going because it's worth it all in the end. And we haven't come to the end yet, you know. The end is when one day we sit in heavenly places. But yet I'm all excited. What I'm thinking about now is that we're going to come back down here and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And we're going to help God set up his kingdom down here. And I keep teaching little Gabriel that. That's what I'm excited about. I don't care what goes on here anymore. I'll just walk it out with God. I'm excited now about what we're going to do when we come back. Devil won't be here. He'll be in chains for 1,000 years. We're going to rule and reign. And God said, we're going to help him set up his kingdom. Now, isn't that exciting? Y'all want to be important? Well, you'll be important one day if you just get yourself in gear here. Hold on to that love walk. And quit allowing the enemy to take it away from you. Amen. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word. Some of you do that. Or in tongue. Some of us do that. But in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Just don't say, oh, I love everybody. Liar. Prove that you love everybody by not saying that. And just doing like Jesus says. Just do what needs to be done. Amen. This young man I took in, I found out he was living in Teresa's old van they had sitting on my property, and it was cold. And I said, bring that kid in here. He can't sleep out there in that van because he went to work every day. So I brought him in, and then after I brought him in, that's when God told me, you keep him in. And he told me why. But see, when I found out he was out there, and I said, what is he doing in that van? And it's cold. A vehicle, believe me, we lived in a car off and up near. We traveled, being in the service. A car is cold at night. You know, and in the morning when you have to go to work, you don't have any hot water anywhere to get yourself together. You go to work sort of stinky, right? And you can't wash your clothes. Your clothes are sort of stinky. And I lived that life, and I don't want to live that. I don't want to see somebody else live that life. Amen. It doesn't matter how they got there. Really doesn't. The Bible tells me if I see my brother in need, help him. Doesn't it? He asked Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. You take care of them. Amen. John spoke about a love that is too often known by head more than heart. Hear that? God spoke about a love that is too often known by head more than heart, but that is changing. He spoke about a love that in its true nature is really more lived and preserved than taught. Read that again. John talked about a love that in its true nature is really more lived and persevered than taught. Now let's just take another example. You know, how I met Brett was through his cousin. So I told him, come on over here. I didn't ask God. I said, just come on over here. So he came over here. And then next thing you know, he gets married and has 6 kids, you know, and towing around behind him. And then I found out, I got a call saying they're out in a coat, out in the rain or something, and standing on the street. I said, take him to the church. I didn't ask God about that because the Word of God says, if you see your brother in need, well, let me pray about this first. As they're standing out there with 6 kids standing around getting all wet, you know. No, if you see your brother or sister in need. Are you understanding this tonight? Now, that's religion and that's man and everything else. When you have, I got to pray about it for a week and see what God has to say. I've gotten trouble doing stuff like that too. I had a pastor and his wife and their six kids move into my home. Well, that was a nightmare. And I went to him, I said, I'm sorry, you're going to find someplace else to live. I can't deal with this. I mean, there were six Isaiahs. And I couldn't deal with that. Everything in my house was being broke. Everything was being wet on, you know, and the wife wouldn't work and you wouldn't take care of the kids. The husband wouldn't work. And I said, I'm sorry, guys, you're going to find someplace else to live. And so they did. But, you know, I saw somebody in need. You know, I'm going to tell you something else. I used to, one time I was back home, you know, when we were going from my mother's to my father's, and in the bitter night, in winter, you know, it was at night, about 11 o'clock at night, and we passed some young kid running, and I knew he was hitchhiking, and I said to my husband, my husband had at that time, I said, please stop and pick that boy up. No, if he's out there, he can get wherever he's going on his own. I said, please pick him up, it's cold, and you know, it's a little bit of rain with the snow, sleet, and please, no. So we went on to my father's house, and about 45 minutes later, here come my brother in the door. That was my brother that my husband would not pick up. That really did a thing to me. So every time I saw anybody hitchhiking, I picked him up. And one night I left the church here. I was going home, and this guy was long road hitchhiking, and I picked him up. I was all alone, and he got in the car, and he said, what's your name? And I told him, and he said, why did you pick me up? I said, just because I saw you was walking and where you have to go. He said, I'm going to tell you something, young lady. Don't you pick up another hitchhiker. I'm not going to harm you. But he says, you're all alone and you might pick up the wrong person. And I've never picked up another hitchhiker since. And he said, you left me out right down here. And I let him out. I really think that was an angel of God. I honestly do, because where I let him out, there was no reason to leave him out there. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah, that's where I went off. It was after he lectured me. Then he went it out. But I really think that was an angel. I really do. He was really nice to me. He really was. Well, he had a belt buckle on it. There was a name on it, John, and I called him. He said, how did you know what my name was? I said, I saw it on your belt buckle. You know, he said, you're very observant. But he said, you know, he said, you could have picked up the wrong person. But because we didn't pick up my brother, and he had to run through that cold and that snow and that sleet, you know. I just said to myself, now when I see somebody hitchhiking, I'm going to pick them up. Always plead the blood of Jesus, you know. But that's just where I was at. I haven't seen a hitchhiker then since then, too. I'm going to tell you that. I haven't seen not one person hitchhike since I picked him up. It was right out here, too, that I picked him up. All right. So I'm saying, I'll get back to my lesson here. Where am I at? Oh, it was John who translated Jesus' love letters to the churches in Revelation. And they were, in fact, love letters, words to woo people back to the original fire God grew them from or for. They were love letters, words to woo people back to the original fire God grew them from or for. John, in his gospel, as well as his letters that later followed, spoke about love in more depth and width than many of us have ever known in reality, but we are about to. God taught us about love for a couple of years, and then Satan fought us for that. I'm talking about us. God taught us about love for a couple of years, then Satan fought us for that love for a couple more years. And now, because of that season we have been through, we will begin to realize that it is bringing such love, the person, to life in ways he has interceded for ever since the cross. In other words, because he taught us about the love, and then Satan took us trying to steal our love, we have found out how much God really loves us. And it should be drawing us to him. And this is why, you know, he had me put together these songs of love. And I know that you're not used to just being silent. I mean, your spirits want to jump all over the place, but you know, there's a time to calm down. And right now is a time that God wanted us to calm down today. He wanted us to know how much we are truly loved. That it's just not a facade. We're just not out here just doing something. God truly does love us. And he has a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives. He really does. But we have to get that love walk right first. God is love, so we must be love. You hear that? We must be love. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this. You know, if your love is perfected, this is what will happen. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You're going to need your love walk perfected so you can have boldness. John spoke about a love you have been living and training in through the pits, perhaps, but it's a love that will be stronger now on this side. A love that is beyond mere words and definitions, beyond doctrine or denomination. A love that is known through lives who have absorbed what John absorbed as you laid your head on the Father's bosom. It's going to be a love that people are not going to be able to understand, because it's going to be Jesus in you. And he's going to be so strong in you that you have to love, because you're absorbing his love as he abides within you. You have been trained and are being released to live the kind of love John spoke about toward God, your neighbors, your persecutors, and even your enemies. You have been trained. We've been trained. And now you're being released to live the kind of love John spoke about toward God first, your neighbors, your persecutors, and even your enemies. You know, if you have the true love of God in you and you have an enemy, you'll still protect that enemy from the wolves. You will. I know, I live it. When you see the wolves coming after that soul, it's going to upset you. And you're going to go into intercessory prayer for that person, even though you want to bop them on the head. You're going to go into intercessory prayer for them, because the love in you does not want to see that soul destroyed. Because, you see, you don't know how much that soul has been crying out to God. You don't know the depths of their bondage that they're in. And it's your job as a born-again child of God, full of the love of God and compassion of God, to protect. If God has put that soul in your hands, and you have to protect that soul at all cost. That's love. That's true love. All right, love has overcome, is that right? Love has overcome the thief of the season you've passed through. All right, and now love will overcome much in the world through you. It brought you through your season, and now since you're absorbed in that love of God, now others are going to be brought to Christ through you because of your love. That is the kind of love John spoke about. His name is Jesus. Are you listening? May every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob be with you in your ventures of love with God from this night on. May you really take this message that you heard tonight and be absorbed in that love of God. And just go and love as God has commanded us to do. If you know, don't get all twisted up in this now. There just might be people that God had in your life for a season, and you ministered to them, and now that season's over. And God wants that person to move on, because you've done all you can do. Now you're burned out. You've done all you can do. Now God has somebody else who is full of the love of God. They're bright and they're burning, that he wants to put in their path. But if you stay there and you keep them in the bondage, then God can't send the next person to them that's going to, you know, some plant, some water, and some reap. All right, so you planted a seed. Now you've done all the seed. You were just there to plant the seed. Now God's going to send somebody, if you let go of them, so God's going to send somebody else in their life to water that seed. Then that person will stay there until that seed starts sprouting and start growing. And then God will send somebody else in their life to make it grow to a full tree. Are you listening here? It didn't say hate the person. We're supposed to love our brothers and our sisters. We're supposed to love our enemies. I should have wrote that scripture down. The Bible even tells us that. We're supposed to love those who persecute us. That is not an easy task. That is something you're going to have to take before the Father. As you're loving that person or those people, whatever, you're going to have to go to the Father and say, you're really going to have to strengthen me right now. Because this is everything it's a drain. It's taken everything I have in me to love these people. It's been a long, hard journey. You're going to have to start renewing something in me. Amen. So I'm not saying you're going to be a super person. I'm just saying you are a love person that loves everybody and everything. I remember the story about the man who, when he got born again, he even went out and hugged the trees. He loved the trees. He just hugged everything around because he just had so much love in him for God that he just loved everybody and everything. So how about you? I bet you didn't even love the trees when you was born again. I bet you still had a hard time loving your own self when you became born again. You have a hard time singing songs about love in the house of God because you really don't know what love's all about. Oh, this is so boring. Why can't we jump in and shout and blow the whistle? That's not going to bring the love of God in you. That's joy. That's not bringing the love of God in you. That's not calming your spirit down and making you go deep into Christ. That's them jumpy songs. I love the jumpy songs. But now, right now, today, God said, no, we're going to slow down and we're going to learn who I am and who you are in me. What's Chris Tomlin say? You're the good, good father. And he is, I am, or whatever. I forget what he always says that. He is a child of God. So, where are you at in your walk with love? If you came in here tonight with thought in your heart against a brother or sister, your love walk's not right. You need to get it right tonight. If you're always fussing and moaning and groaning and complaining, your love walk isn't right. You have to get it right. And God wants to do that tonight. He wants to restore back to you the love you used to have before you allowed the enemy to steal it. So the altar's open. God wants to pour his love into you so that you can rejoice in the midst of your enemies. Are you hearing this? So that he wants to pour that love in you so you can rejoice in the midst of your enemies. So that the enemy can't take you out. He can't block your blessings. It's a total love walk tonight. Total and complete love walk. Come on, life isn't easy with anybody. Life is hard. It's only easy if you're in Christ. It's only easy if you have the love of God running through your veins. That's the only way it's easy. The trials and tribulations are still there, but it's easy because you have God's love running through your veins. You know, not everybody can teach about love because they haven't walked it out. But I've walked it out. I know the pitfalls. I know how Satan can come slowly and steal, zap you of your love. And I know how it leaves you empty and dry when you don't have that love. No reason to live. Tonight, I want you to allow God to restore your love. Come on, just give it all to him. Raise your hands up in total surrender and just say, Father God, all the hate, all the discord, anything that's in my heart, all the rejection, everything that's keep me from your love walk, Father God, I give it to you right now. And let him have it. Come on. Let him have it.